Good morning, Radiant Church.
Good morning.
Today is going to be a good day for lots of reasons. One of which is we get to talk about where we're going next and where we are today. And so some of you may have been walking with us as we trek through the book of Ephesians. And we finished Ephesians a couple weeks ago. And so now the question is, okay, where are we going next now that we're done there? We are actually going through another book of the Bible. Our regular diet here at Radiant Church is what's called expositional preaching, where we preach through books of the Bible. Although it is at times appropriate to take a specific topic and a specific issue and pull out what God's word has to say about that, our regular diet is typically seeing what God has to say in the context of his earlier church. So we're going to be walking through that today. And so we finished Ephesians. Today we're going to talk a little about who we are. As you see the slide up there, the mission, the values, and the vision of Radiant Church. We're going to not just remind, but hopefully re-envision to why we do this thing called church. Especially and specifically, why do we do what we do here? After this Sunday, we will begin a new series through the book of Jonah. It will be a four-week series, and then after that is Easter. Amen? Where we get to celebrate the risen Christ in a very unique and special way. Our culture and our country and our culture has given us this opportunity to just celebrate in a unique and special way. So we're going to do that. We're going to celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and invite other people to celebrate that as well. So that's where we're going next. Today, we're going to talk about who we are and why we do what we do. Then we'll begin a series through Jonah, and then it'll be Easter, and we will stay there. If you do not have a Bible, because we're going to open up some scriptures, if you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. One of our ushers will hand you a Bible. If you don't have one at all, feel free to take that one home with you, and it's yours to keep. If you just left it in the car, then give our Bible back, and then use your Bible next time. We pay for these. So, who are we as Radiant Church is what I want to talk about today. Hopefully we'll do this every year, because what I don't want to happen as we grow as a church, both deep and wide, as we grow as a church, I don't want us to forget about why we're here and what we're called to do. Who we are as a people. I don't want to be a church that's just begun filled with activities and good things even, but forget why God has called us here, what God has called us to do. And so on a regular basis, maybe yearly or annually, we're going to walk through and do a sermon of reminding us who we are as a church and what God has called us to be. So we're going to start with the name, Radiant Church. Radiant Church. Why Radiant Church? It wasn't just to be trendy. Those of you who know me know I am the least cool person there is. And it's like, I know like the trend nowadays, especially in youth ministries, it's like this cool single syllable, you know, word, spark and fuel and jagged and all these other names for ministries. Like, that's cool, but that wasn't our goal, was to somehow be trendy or on the cutting edge. Really, it has two reasons why we decided to name the church Radiant Church. And it has an individual component and it has a corporate element. It has an individual element and it has a corporate element. Psalms 34, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. I'll give you time. Psalms chapter 34. Psalms 34 speaks to the individual why behind the name Radiant. And as you'll see, these things aren't devoid of truth for all Christians everywhere. We've just put our own language around eternal biblical truths. And so Psalms 34, verses 1 through 7, a phenomenal psalm to read all the way through when you get a moment. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues him. The individual component of why we decided to name Radiant Church, is this idea of those who look to God, those who look to him for a source of strength and identity and comfort will never feel shamed, and yet their faces will always be radiant with joy. Now, those who have read other psalms know that joy doesn't come oftentimes because of our situation, but oftentimes joy comes despite our situation. And so joy points to something bigger than this world can offer and bigger than this world can take away. It points to the person of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so the first individual component of radiant joy is people who are radiant with that knowledge, who know who God is and what God has said about them, and live a life that reflects that joy to other people. I spent many times growing up around church as an unbeliever. One of the things that always struck me about Christians as an unbeliever was how sad they seemed to always be. Like, every day was a struggle. I'm just trying to get by. It's like, really? As an unbeliever, I felt like, man, my life is way better than your life. And you have this guy, Jesus. You're supposed to have all this stuff. You quote all these Bible verses. You sing all these songs, yet I don't see that to be true in your life. And so as an unbeliever in church every single Sunday, because my dad was in ministry, my mom was in ministry, and they kind of dragged me along to church, that used to always strike me, is that I hear the songs that they sing, I hear the verses that they quote, and yet I look at the lives of the people, and I don't see joy. Not that we don't go through hard things, and there's a struggle at times, but there is a persistent joy that should be evident in the life of the believer. And Radiant Church helps us to remind that, because we forget that. I forget that. Radiant Church seeks to remind us that no, what we know about God and what he said about us should change how we look at every situation, both good and bad. That's the individual component to why Radiant Church. But there's also a corporate component, is one thing that you'll hear oftentimes here at Radiant Church, is the individual is not the climax of salvation. It's the people that God seeks to save, and we'll talk about that later. There's a corporate meaning for why Radiant Church. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 16. A familiar verse for some of us. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. By corporate, I mean beyond the individual, us as a body. Why are we Radiant Church, not just radiant individuals? Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are also the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way," listen closely, "let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let your light shine so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So Jesus here is speaking to a crowd of people, talking about this gathered people, the early days of the church, saying, let our light shine in such a way that people give glory to God. Now, that's always been a puzzling truth to me, because Christians aren't the only people who do good works. I mean, as a matter of fact, nowadays, we're not even the best at it. There are organizations that reject God, that reject salvation, that reject eternity, that feed people, that clothe people, that do good things. So what is it about good works when a Christian does it that God gets glory? What is different? And one of those things, I believe, is found in John 17, is the fact that we do it together. How we do it together in unity, in love, with joy, it speaks of something that this world can't offer. We don't feed and clothe and serve people out of duty or responsibility, although it is a command. We do it because we've been given so much. How can we not freely give to others in their time of need? And so Radiant Church seeks to embody that men may see our light shining, our good works, and give glory to our Father in heaven. The individual has a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that transforms us as people, and collectively, it transforms what we do, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, how we prioritize our gatherings, all for the glory of God. That is the name, Radiant Church. But besides the name, what about us? Who are we other than a trendy name on a building? And that leads us to our mission and vision statements. Our mission and vision statements. We see churches and other organizations have mission statements and vision statements, but we don't oftentimes know what's the difference, right? Other than being language on a website, what does that actually mean to have a mission and vision statement? I want to talk about that for just a moment. A mission statement describes what we do. A mission statement is the driving force for describing what do we do as a church. Our vision statement is what we hope to see happen as a result. Mission is what we do. Vision is, if we do this thing, this is what we will see happen, the future reality. So Radiant's mission, Radiant exists to see people transformed by the gospel for the good of the city. We exist to see people transformed by the gospel for the good of the city. And hopefully you see both the individual and the corporate elements of this definition. We want to see transformation beginning on the individual level. but then corporately working, doing good together, as mentioned in Matthew 5. This is why we say oftentimes that spiritual maturity isn't measured by information, it's measured by transformation. Or in other words, spiritual maturity isn't measured by how much you've learned, but by how much you've changed. Spiritual maturity isn't measured by how much you've learned, but by how much you've changed. Because a transformed life brings the light, which leads to the good works, which leads to the glory of the Father. You see how these things are connected. We can't just be smarter Christians. We have to be more submitted Christians. That's our mission. That's the mission of Radiant Church, is how do we create an atmosphere to see people transformed? That's why we do huddles. That's why we have the discussion-based Bible study. That guides what we talk about on a Sunday morning. That guides our activities, is how can we not just get smarter, but how can we actually see transformation happening? And that's the work of the Spirit, but we can create an environment for the Spirit to work in. Amen? So we want to see people transformed. And this mission shapes our budgets, our calendars, our priorities. We want to see people transformed by the beauty and the power of the good news and how that inward transformation leads to collective action, good works. That's what we want to be about. Now, what's our vision? If our mission is to see people transformed by the gospel for the good of the city, what do we want to see happen as a result of that? And honestly, we pull this straight from the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It'll be on the screen. It says, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So what does that mean? This Great Commission really just applied to our local context. Our vision at Radiant Church, what we hope to see as a result of our mission, our vision is to see every man, woman, and child have multiple opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel without coming or going anywhere. That was a long statement, so I'm going to say it again. Our vision, our desire, is to see every man, woman, and child have multiple opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel without coming or going anywhere. Why? Because we will take the good news to them. Your friend or your relative or your coworker won't come to church, that's fine. The Holy Spirit is portable. You can take him with you. We want people to not just to hear our words, but to see the gospel working itself out. That's why this unity service that we're having later today is so important, because it's a chance for people to see the stuff that we're talking about. That's why your life and your holiness is so important, because it points to the truth that you live for something greater than this life has to offer. Netflix doesn't rule your life. Jesus does. Leisure and safety and comfort doesn't determine every decision, but Jesus does. And that's how people see, and that's why we give them multiple opportunities to respond to that gospel without coming or going anywhere. That's what we hope to see happen. That's gospel saturation. Let me be honest. This is a mission and this is a vision that's bigger than Radiant Church. There is no way that we can do this by ourselves. Just in Midland Park, if we just took Midland Park, not just North Charleston, but if we just took Midland Park, there is no way that we could reach every man, woman, and child in just this Midland Park area. So what does this force us to do? This forces us to play nice with the Methodist Church down the street and the Church of God Church around the street. With the other Baptist church around the corner, it forces us to see that we are partners in God's kingdom, not competitors. Because we need all hands on deck. We need every person who loves Jesus, even if they believe a little differently than we do about certain things, even if they worship a little differently, even if they do things a little differently, we need their help. We need your help. This vision is bigger than us, and it compels us to not fight to build this church, but to build God's kingdom. This leads to our core commitment. So we've talked about our name, we've talked about our mission, we've talked about our vision, but you probably have heard this several times, that Radiant Church is not like a family. We are a family. You've heard this family thing beat and drilled into your head. You're probably tired of me saying it, but this expresses our core commitments, that we are God's family on mission. So we have our mission, vision, and core commitments. Let me give a metaphor to help us explain how these things play together. Our vision is the destination. Just imagine you're going on a trip, right? You're going on a trip somewhere. The vision statement is the destination. This is where we want to go. The mission statement is the vehicle. Are you going to walk there? Are you going to fly there? Are you going to drive there? The mission statement is how we get there. The core commitments or our core values are the rules of the road. The speed limit, driving on the right side of the road. That's the things that we commit to not violate in order to achieve the mission. The ends do not justify the means in Christianity. So we must do God's things God's way. Amen? And so we have to have rules of the road, which we call core commitments. And most churches will call these core values. And we believe that if the mission is as important as we say it is, and the vision is as glorious as we say it is, then we need to more than value these things. We need to commit ourselves to these things. And so that's why we call our values really just core commitments. And the core commitments are really summarized with the simple statement that we are God's family on mission. And it's a shorthand way of expressing the three core commitments that we have as a church: a commitment to God, a commitment to family, and a commitment to the mission. Let me back this up with the Bible. Matthew 22:37 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Here Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and basically saying, I want all of you. So to be committed to God is to submit the whole life to God's rule and God's reign. God doesn't want your free time. God doesn't want the time, the leftover time. God doesn't want your leftovers. God wants all of you. And if he is as good as we say he is, that's good for us. Because God getting all of us means that we are safe, we are secure, we are more loved than we could ever be. But it looks and feels a little uncomfortable because it looks a little like submission, does it not? And that's become a bad word. This idea that I cannot determine my own destiny, this idea that I cannot determine my own fate, we push back on it because the world tells us you only live once. Live your life, be happy. The problem is we've tried that. We've tried that, y'all. If we're honest, you've tried that. We're not that good at it, but God is. And so a whole life submitted to God is actually good news. So it's our first commitment. We are committed first and foremost to God with all of us, our heart, our soul, and our mind. Next is we are committed to family, and this has two components again. One, we are committed to the natural family. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now, y'all, I don't know what's worse than an unbeliever, because what's worse than hell? Like, what's worse than facing God's wrath? I don't want to find out. So we are committed to our natural family. That's why we go through, if you're going through our membership class, we have a commitment to see marriages restored. Our heart is to always see marriages restored. Our heart is to always see parents and sons and daughters reconciled to one another, loving one another, caring for one another, because it is a biblical truth that we must care for our natural family. But we're not just committed to our natural brothers and sisters. We're also committed to our eternal brothers and sisters. Mark chapter 3, verses 33 through 35 says, Jesus talking, he says, he replied to them, "Who are my mothers and my brothers?" Looking at those sitting in a circle around him, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." That's where we get this idea and this concept of family from, is those who do God's will, those who are in Christ Jesus, have become our brothers and sisters. They've become family. And we are committed to them through honesty, right? A commitment to family means a commitment to transparency. I'm not going to pretend and fake on Sunday morning. We talked about the difference between honesty and transparency a while ago. One of the greatest lies in the Christian church is fine, good. When someone asks, how you doing? Good, 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 good. Fine, 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 fine. That's a way to keep people far from you. But honesty would say, not that great, man. Now, you don't have to be transparent with everyone, but you do need to be honest with everyone. So you don't have to tell the story, but you can be honest. That's one of the ways that we're family. Another way is we eat together, we celebrate together, we share life together. Let me talk about that for just a second. When we talk about sharing life as a family, I don't just mean meeting together. Because typically we talk about sharing life and it's meeting together. Hey, let's go get coffee. Hey, let's go hang out. Hey, let's go do something. And that's good and that's healthy and that's going to be life-giving. But oftentimes life gets crazy, does it not? We get busy. There's stuff happening. And taking another hour or two out of your busy routine and busy schedule can be hard and difficult to do. So how do we act like family even when life gets crazy? I would submit that we do family stuff together. Stay-at-home moms. We do a great job here of getting together pretty regularly. But what if instead of just getting together, we did life together? Say, hey, man, you got dirty clothes? Me too. Let's wash clothes together. What day you go to the grocery store? I got to go anyway. I don't have any time to meet necessarily, but there's stuff that I have to do anyway that I can just do with you. And so as a family, we want to commit to doing life together, not just meeting together. Both are important. Both are important, meeting and doing life together. And lastly, we are committed to God, we're committed to family, but we are also committed to the mission. The moment you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to his mission. There are no bench warmers in the family of God. There are no bystanders in God's army. We are all engrafted and drafted into the mission of God. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 says, Paul talking to Timothy, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Do we think of ourselves as soldiers? Now, we don't have to take the metaphor too far. I'm not saying wear camo and be crazy, but the idea of having a commanding officer, the idea of you get your directives and your rules from other people, from God himself, from his word, from the church. The idea that I can't get too entangled in this life. I can't get too attached to this stuff because I might limit my service and my readiness to my God and to my King. That's what it means to be committed. But we're not just soldiers. 2 Corinthians calls us something else. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Did you catch it? Christ pleads through us. We have become ministers of reconciliation. As we are reconciled to God, God says, now go and share and tell what has been done. And so we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's why we are committed to the mission, because the mission is eternity itself. Souls hang in the balance. Oftentimes share, you know, we don't just read the Bible regularly for ourselves. We do it to have we don't just read it just to have an answer for the atheist or for the Muslim or the person who's fighting against our faith. We do it so that we can help those in need. How many times have we read the Bible, read a passage that just spoke to us and we found a way to use it that day for somebody who needed it? Right? We are connected and we are dependent. We are God's ambassadors. And so our spiritual life and vitality and holiness has ripple effects to everyone around us. And that's the mission, is to impact every person we touch, every place we come in contact with the good news of Jesus Christ by our example, by our holiness, by our love, by the truth that we have. That's the job. Whether you are a preacher or a stay-at-home mom or you work in a factory, no matter what you do, no matter who you are, that's the job. Your occupation is just the wrapping for that mission. The school you go to is just the context where you serve that mission out. The home that you have and the family that God has given you is just a context for that mission to be played out. The job that you have is just the mission field that God has given you. It's just a tool to be who God has called us to be. And so we are committed to God, we are committed to family, and we are committed to the mission, which is eternity itself, inviting those to come, taste, and see the goodness of Jesus Christ. So why do we talk about this? Why talk about this on a Sunday morning, even? Because what you've heard today is just the good news of the gospel, y'all. Like I said, I'm not super creative. This isn't to be edgy. I just pulled from the scripture who we should be and what we should do, and I applied it to North Charleston, and I said, okay, this is who we are as a church. Do you think the city of North Charleston needs to see God in a big way? Do you think the city of North Charleston needs to see families healthy and whole? Do you think they need truth spoken, truth on display? That's who we are, church. We are God's hands and his feet in this context that we're in. And if we commit ourselves to the mission to be transformed by the good news for the good of the city, Lord knows that we will see the vision, because this isn't ultimately our mission, church. This is God's mission. If it was our mission, we should turn off the lights and lock the doors and head home. Because the brokenness outside, the brokenness in here is too much for us. But if this is God's mission, and we have God's power in his presence, and we have God at work, then it's the exact opposite. Not only should we not, but we are guaranteed victory. We're guaranteed to win. If God is for us, who can be against us? And this is God's mission. This is God's vision. Our core commitments are really just God's commitments to us. And so we see that we not operate in our strength. We operate in God's strength. And that's who we are, church. We're God's people. We're God's family. We're God's soldiers. We're God's ambassadors. We are his. But that goes to a truth that says that not everyone in this place knows how good this God is. I would dare say that there are some, even in this place right now, that don't know how good God is. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus." No matter what you have heard, there is only one way to God the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. Without trusting in his works and not your own, in his righteousness and not your own, you will not see God. But God loved you so much that he brought you to this place today so that you could hear, see, and have a moment to respond to God's grace and love for your life. When you heard this room full of people singing, that's because of the stories of faithfulness that are littered in this room. Tragedy that has turned to triumph. Hard times that we've seen God work. The joy that you see on people's faces when you walked in wasn't a pretend. It was legitimate joy that God is good and he has done for me more than many will ever know. And that's what we invite you to if you do not know God. We invite you to joy. We invite you to family. We invite you to mission that this world can't offer. As the band comes up, we are going to take a moment to respond to God and respond to his goodness. Church, if you are a part of Radiant Church, I hope that you have been re-energized and re-envisioned for why we do what we do. There is a broken world both in here and out there that needs us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Jesus is done, y'all. It is finished. And for whatever reason, he has entrusted his mission to us. Broken, imperfect, fallible people. But we're it. We're not, the church isn't God's plan B. We're it. And if we can be who God has called us to be as individuals, if we could be who God called us to be as a church, then we will see God do what only God can do in our city, in our families, at our jobs, in our homes. Why don't you pray with me for just a moment? Father, God, thank you for saving me, Father. Thank you for saving us, Father. God, we were all dead in our sins. God, we were all rebellious against you, pushing you away, God. Declaring ourselves to be the captain of our own lives, Father. The master of our own fate. And even though we failed at it time and time again, God, we were rebels. And yet you came and got us, Father. You saved us. You drew us to yourself. And you made us part of your church, God, part of your family. God, I pray for every Christian in this place, God, those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. God, I pray that you would raise up in them, God, a burden and a courage and a hope to be on mission for you, Father. That we would be a transformed people, and that transformation would produce good. That people may see our good works and glorify you, Father. And Father God, I pray for everyone who's not a believer now, God. I pray that you would convict their hearts. God, that you would draw them to yourself even now, Father. God, we thank you and we love you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the saints are continuing to pray, I want to give a moment to respond. If you do not know Jesus Christ, if you have questions about what that even means, I want to talk to you. I want to pray for you. But I need to know who you are. So if you would like prayer, or if you would just like to have a conversation about who God is, or if the Lord has been working on your heart for weeks and for months, and you say, today is the day of salvation, today is the day that I give my life over to God, would you just right where you are, if any of that applies to you, right where you are with heads bowed and eyes closed, just lift your hand and say, man, that's me. Would you pray for me? Would you talk to me? Just lift your hand around this place. Thank you. Church, let's stand together. We are going to sing and we are going to worship for just a few moments. I'm going to be standing right here and Pastor Jake is going to be over here as well. And if you need prayer for anything at all, we would love to pray for you before we dismiss. We're going to sing together one more time and then I'm going to send you out ready to do and be all God has called us to do and be. Amen. So why don't we stand as we worship?